Book of Philippians, chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your grace, Father. We thank You that You did ordain this plan of salvation in Your Son, and that You allowed us to be a part of it, Father. We thank You that You've made us a part of Your purpose in this universe and for all of eternity. And Father, I pray that we would have some understanding and apprehension of just what that means to be a part of that working that will glorify You forever and ever. And Lord, by Your grace, we can have an effect in that area. And Father, that is a blessed thing. I pray that You would give us a good, clear view of that we might not waste a moment of this life, but redeem the time. And we thank and praise You in our Savior's name. Amen. Philippians and chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 17 and down through verse 21. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of Me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Right, we have come down through verses 17, 18, 19 there in the last few weeks. And we've been talking about this, Paul's call there in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of Me. And we are, you and I, in pressing toward this mark in the Christian life, reaching for that perfection that God has given to us. We need, the only way that we're going to do that we're going to get to that place, is by following Paul. And that is as opposed to following some other revelations that have come from God, and as opposed to following philosophies and traditions of men and those kinds of things. So you've got a kind of a religious walk going on one side, and you've got a secular kind of a thing happening on the other side, and then you've got Paul in the middle, and he says, you want to be followers together of Me. You want to mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. Then in verse 18 and 19, he talks about, and you notice verse 18 and 19 is a parenthesis, and he talks about the negative of that. And he talks about how many walk in a different way. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame. And they mind earthly things. And we talked about that last week. These earthly things. Now, we didn't really focus on that last point in verse 19 there, because it's coming off of that, minding earthly things, that Paul says in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. So Paul is making a distinction here now between the way that he walks and the way that we are to follow him, and these others who mind earthly things. And you notice there, we mention often as you go through this passage, and that statement in particular, he doesn't say they mind evil things. He says they mind earthly things. And there is a heavenly quality to our conversation in this dispensation that is different from the things that have come before. And we don't want to mind earthly things. We'll talk about what that means in just a moment. So Paul says our conversation is in heaven. Now before we talk about that word conversation there, I want to just read verses 17 and 20, taking out that parentheses so that you can kind of get the flow of the thought here. Verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For our conversation is in heaven." So that's the idea in following Paul. You want to be aware of and walk in that heavenly conversation. Now, that word there, conversation, come back to the end of chapter 1 in Philippians. We've seen that word before here in this book. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So that in both of these passages, you can see that word conversation and the idea that it carries. It has to do with more than the way we normally use that word in our modern vernacular. When we talk about conversation, you talk about two people having a dialogue, talking to each other. But that word conversation has a fuller meaning than that. And it has to do, in chapter 3, in our passage, with our walk. Paul's talking about, be followers together of me, mark them which walk so, and there are many who walk another way. And he says, for our conversation is in heaven. So he's talking about his walk, his manner of life. Here too, in Philippians chapter 1, the idea of striving together for the faith of the gospel is part of our conversation. It's part of how we conduct ourselves. Now, that word also, and you will hear it translated this way often, has the idea of citizenship. That word conversation. It's the word there is the word that we get the word politics from. But it's not just a citizenship. It has that idea. Paul is saying here, our citizenship is in heaven. And that's important to understand. That is our... We are ambassadors here, Paul says. Our homeland is somewhere else. We're citizens of heaven. And ambassadors here on the earth. But that word conversation, to just translate it citizenship, doesn't do it, because you can see from the context and the way that the Holy Spirit uses that word has got to do with more than just where we come from or where our legal rights are. It has to do with the way we conduct ourselves. So the idea is, you conduct yourself as a citizen of heaven. Having a citizenship affects how you behave. When you grow up in one culture and you learn those ways and you take on those characteristics, you go somewhere else into some foreign land and you seem strange to people there, because you're conducting yourself as like a citizen of someplace else. So it's not just citizenship, it's the conduct of a citizen of heaven. so Paul says that our conversation, our walk, our citizenship, and our life and our behavior, our culture is heavenly. And that is as opposed to those who mind earthly things. Now, come with me to the book of Colossians, and let's take a look, chapter 2, at something of what Paul is talking about there. Colossians chapter 2. We're not to be minding earthly things. Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, and I'm going to try not to read this entire chapter, but we really could. Colossians chapter 2, "For I would that you knew," Paul writes, "what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." So Paul says, I want you to know this conflict that I have for you, so that you would come to know this mystery, come to understand to the fullness of the knowledge and of the assurance of it. Of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is, everything that we want to possess. All the wealth that God has for us is in Christ. We've been talking about that throughout this third chapter of Philippians. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what does that mean? Read on. "And this I say," why are you saying this, Paul? "Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So now we're talking about our walk again. "Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Beware. Now what you've got going on here is I am taking my position in Christ. And in that is where I find my joy and my abundance and my that gratitude for everything that God has done for me. It's in Christ. That's where I'm walking. As I received Him, I continue to walk in Him, and that strengthens me, makes me steadfast in the faith, and makes me to abound with thanksgiving. Now, that doesn't say anything about what's going on around me, does it? Doesn't say anything about my outward circumstances. Doesn't say, Paul's talking about abounding in thanksgiving. He's not talking about because, you know, the car started today, or because we've got enough money to meet our needs, or any of those earthly things. Our joy, he's telling us in Philippians 3, rejoice in the Lord. So, that's where it all is. And then he says, beware, verse 8, "lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So now we're talking about those earthly things, those rudiments of the world. What is that? What does that mean? "For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." That means you don't need anything else. Anything else like what? Verse 11, "in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So you don't need circumcision. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. So what Paul is talking about here, when he talks about the rudiments of the world, when he talks about minding earthly things, Romans chapter 12, Paul says, he spends three chapters in the book of Romans, 9, 10, and 11, telling us about this dispensation that you and I live in, how that Israel has been cast off, and God has now formed this one body, the body of Christ, and that He did that so that He could have mercy on the whole world. He created this new dispensation. In Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul goes into tremendous detail. Then in chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We look at a statement like that and we think that immediately translates in our mind as don't sin. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't get involved in the debauchery and those things. Well, yeah, it's that. But it's not just that. They mind earthly things. Paul talks about the rudiments of the world. What's he talking about here? He's talking about circumcision. He's talking about baptism. He's talking about religious things. Paul says, there are many who walk this way, and I'm telling you, weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ when they do that. So he says, don't do that. Everything you have, everything you need is in Christ. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. See? Nailing it to His cross. So you take those ordinances and you pull them back down from there. What are you doing? You're making yourself an enemy of what God did there. An enemy of the cross. That cross, it didn't just take our sins away. It took those earthly things away. And, verse 15, having spoiled, I'm going to end up reading this whole chapter, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, all of this has got to do with that cross, with the cross work of Christ, and acknowledging it and walking by it makes you a friend of the cross as opposed to an enemy of it. We want to understand what the cross means, what the Lord did there. See, spoiled principalities and powers made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This purpose that you and I are involved with, it's got to do with those principalities and powers. And how do we overcome them? Well, we do it by the blood of Christ, what He did on that cross. Let no man, therefore, because of what Christ did there at that cross, let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So now we've got some more earthly things there that people focus on. And Paul says, don't get tangled up in that. Don't get tangled up in those earthly things. Our conversation is in heaven. Now listen, you and I know that we as grace people can get caught up in this kind of stuff. You need to understand what the real target is, and what's smoke and mirrors over here. There's all kind of pseudo morality that the Christian church is caught up in, and things that are socially and worldly unacceptable among good, upstanding, moral people. All of a sudden, that becomes sin. God never said that was sin. We start making up our own sins. See, that's what the Pharisees did. I'm going to come up with my own list. You know the list. You know the grace list is probably not all too different than the Baptist list. You know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't hang with those that do. And I don't go to movies and I don't play cards. And I, you know, all of this stuff. Let no man judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, this is a person who professes and believes themselves to be spiritual. They're minding spiritual things as far as they're concerned. Angels and religious morality and all of these kind of things. They're a spiritual person. Paul says they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. See, there's a fleshly spirituality. It's not spirituality at all. Don't get tangled up in it. Keep your eye on the prize. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. That's what we're shooting for. So they're vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and doing what? Verse 19, not holding the head. See, you've let go of the head. From which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So that's how we get the increase, by holding the head, by standing fast in the Lord, and understanding that our conversation is not in this world. It's in heaven. Wherefore, verse 20, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you doing that to the brethren? You're dead. Why? You see what he says there? Why, as though living in the world? Well, don't we live in the world? Paul says we don't. Why? Because our conversation, our life, is in heaven. Our members are here on the earth, but our life is in heaven. Why, as though your life was here, are you focused on those earthly things, Paul says? He says there's people out there that are doing that. Number one, they're not following Paul. Number two, they're making themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. Touch not, taste not, handle not. It's all going to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. You see, as you go down through this passage, you're worshiping everything but God. You're worshiping angels. You're worshiping your own willpower. You worship anything and everything but what we ought to be worshiping. Voluntary humility, a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So we're going to crawl on crushed glass one way or another, metaphorically, literally, going to punish your body. And somehow that's going to make me holy by flogging myself. Chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, don't mind earthly things. Get your mind off of those earthly things. Circumcision, uncircumcision, meats, no meats, baptism, all of that kind of stuff. None of that's got anything to do with anything. It's about being in Christ. So what does that mean? That means my life's in heaven and my life's not here on the earth, so doesn't matter what I do here on the earth. Well, we all know better than that, right? The goal here is to get this vessel to be a servant to the glory of God. You're never going to do that by minding those earthly things. The goal here is to get our members in line with the will of God. But you're never going to do that by seeing yourself as living here in this world and putting those earthly things in place of the things of God and calling them some kind of religious obedience. Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, our Paul says, I glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm crucified to it, dead to it. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to these things? Those things have no hold on you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I got to talk about that, but look at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Okay, so am I supposed to worry about earthly things, or am I not supposed to worry about earthly things? Well, now look at the things that have to do with your members that are on the earth that you need to be mortifying. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh. See, those are the things in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. You remember when we talked about the difference between you live in the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit. You are children of light, walk as children of light. Here Paul says, you used to walk in those things when you used to live in them. You don't live in them anymore. You say, but I'm still doing that stuff. Well, number one, stop doing that stuff. But number two, it doesn't matter. You're not living in it anymore. So quit walking in it. See, where is your life? Your life's not on this earth. If your life was on this earth, then you could say, I'm living in that stuff. You're not living in that stuff. Your life is hid with Christ in God. In heaven, you're not living in those things. You may be walking in them, but you're not living in them. So stop walking in them. That's the idea. Get a hold of where your life is. Don't get tripped up with these earthly religious things. And when it comes to these fleshly, to that debauchery and fornication and uncleanness and those kinds of things, how are you going to stop that stuff? You're going to stop that stuff by putting your affection where it belongs, not on things on the earth, but where your life is in heaven, hid with Christ in God. He says those things, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience for doing those things. You used to be that. Don't be that anymore. And he goes down through, and you can read the rest of that passage and all the things that we ought to be doing on this earth and ought not to be doing on this earth, and stop lying to each other, and if any man have a quarrel with any, forgive one another, and those kinds of things. See, that's what the Lord is looking for. Not all of that that pseudo morality that religion loves to just pump into our heads. Learn what God's will is and focus on that. Don't get caught up in that other stuff. So, and what Paul is saying here in these first few verses of chapter 3 is exactly what he's saying in the last few verses of Philippians and chapter 3. He says in verse 3, "You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Turn back to Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 20 again. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." See, that's the exact same thing he's saying there in Colossians. If you're dead with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, don't put your affections on things down here. Put your affections on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you'll appear with him in glory. The idea there in both of these passages and in many others we've been seeing is that idea of, I'm going to perfect this flesh. I am going to perfect this flesh. I'm going to do it by observing all of these religious do's and not observing the don'ts and all of those kinds of things. And I am going to make myself into some kind of an acceptable moral religious person. Paul says, I have not attained. I'm following after. But you are not going to reach perfection in this life. Our perfection, and that's why he keeps bringing up the coming of Christ. Because we set our affections on things above, and when the Lord comes, he'll change our vile body to be fashioned like his glorious body. See? That's where the coming of the Lord comes in. You're looking for perfection for your flesh? You'll get it. Again, Paul tells the Galatians, who were doing this exact same thing, we, through faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. We're waiting for the... I can't perfect this flesh. God didn't do what he did to perfect this flesh. He did what he did to kill it. To kill this flesh. I'll get that perfect body coming out here one day. But look, if I get the idea that I can fill my life with all of these physical things and do these things and don't do these things, that is going to somehow put me in some kind of a position of favor with God, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get to where I'm not wrestling with the flesh anymore, and I'm not mortifying those things. Because I've already got it. I've met my criteria. See, Paul, he keeps reminding us that the only way that you're going to get perfection in this body is going to be by getting a new body. When the Lord comes back, he'll change our vile body. Until then, you got this vile body to deal with. And you always will until that day. See, understanding that keeps us pressing toward that mark. Because there isn't a list. It's about the fullness of Christ. See, that, we're not going to come to any kind of place where we can say that I've attained. If we mind earthly things, we will deceive ourselves into doing that, into saying that I'm living this Christian life the way I should. None of us is. Now, whereunto you have attained, walk by the same rule. Walk in the light that you have. But the idea that I'm doing this thing right, I'm doing this thing perfectly, not if I've got my eye on the right thing, I don't. If I've got my eye on the right thing, where am I looking? What does Paul say? Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, so even the perfection of this flesh in the end, where am I looking? I'm looking up. My affections are set in the heavens. It's where my life is. It's where it is now, so that my conversation in this world is a heavenly conversation. And it's my life, and I'm waiting for my life, because Christ is my life. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. Everything is in Him. And where is He? He's in heaven. That's why our conversation is in heaven. We have a heavenly citizenship. We have a heavenly life. We have a heavenly walk. True spirituality, not that voluntary humility of religion, but true godliness. So, our conversation is in heaven. That's as opposed to those who mind earthly things. And it's heaven from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Savior there in that context, he's talking about phase three. The Savior, we're looking for our Savior. We're looking for the Lord to come and save us. Now, He's already saved your soul, quickened your spirit. Only one thing left. He's going to come and save us from the presence of this evil world, from the presence of sin, and from our vile bodies. So again, where are you looking for that perfection? I want perfection. Where am I looking? I'm looking up. I'm looking where my life is. I'm looking where my Lord is. He's my perfection. That understanding and getting that idea that it's all Him that works, not just for your hope for the future, but you get that mindset and it works now. Your conversation now. You begin to see that growth toward that perfection. Paul says, walk that way. Be followers of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life and of this world. Know what godliness is and pursue that. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. We'll get into that verse next time. But that change that we're looking for there, I just want to point out one thing in verse 21. We've got this vile body. It's going to be made into a glorious body one day. Now that verse, to me, harkens back to what Paul said in chapter 2. You remember about let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself, became a man, took on human flesh, took on the likeness of sinful flesh, became obedient unto death. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. And He got glorified after the humiliation. You and I, we've got these vile bodies. What they need is death. Death to the flesh. Mortify. You know what mortify means? You know what a mortician is, right? Mortify. Kill. Mortify your members that are on the earth. And then that glory will come. Just like it did for the Lord. We're co-heirs, joint heirs with Him. So, our conversation is in heaven. Don't want to be minding earthly things. Take your citizenship and conduct ourselves like citizens of heaven. Not as though living in this world. I'm done. Do you have a question or a comment? Yeah, Laura.
Yeah, back in Colossians, this one phrase is just kind of going over my head. In verse 19, well, let's look at the verse 19, and then it's the last phrase that I have no idea exactly what it means. Not holding the head from which all the bodies